Yeah, I mean, and there's a fellow named James Hughes who teaches in he's a bioethicist out of Trinity University or Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. He wrote a book called Citizen Cyborg, which I have reviewed. And among the things he wishes to see in Citizen Cyborg, let me give you a quote if I can. This is from page 94, and it shows you the astonishingly radical nature of the transhumanist movement. Quote, and he says that to believe that human life has intrinsic value simply and merely because it is human, that is like the sanctity of human life ethic or the equality of human life ethic, mm-hmm. He calls that human racism. It's a form of speciesism. We've talked about this before in personhood theory, you know, with bioethics, that we can't discriminate against animals by thinking there's such a thing as a hierarchy of moral worth, at least with regard to species. He calls that human racism. So he says this, so human racism will only be fully challenged by animals that have been modified to possess human cognitive and communicative abilities. He goes on, soon we will be able to genetically enhance primates to have human intellectual capacities, a project dubbed Uplifting by David Brin. I firmly believe that uplifting chimps will force us to admit that intelligent personhood, not humanness, is the ticket to citizenship.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men, and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting from the Internet for Monday, March 16th, 2008. And you're listening to Newsreel, a WOG global sit-rep on corp, political, tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. And you can follow up on all these news stories. And you can check my facts by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Non-Surveyum Radio, Osprey Networks, CreekRadio.net, Radio Red Mercury, and every Thursday night at 7 o'clock, Second Life Time, we broadcast at Node Archer's Grid 155746666. For now. But currently, apparently, our nomadic lifestyle and location is under siege because we keep getting outbid by some guy named Mr. Lee from China. From Chinatown. It's the dude from Snow Crash. I can't remember what the thing is. Mr. Lee from Big China. But you know that's what it is. And of course, my beautiful and talented laughing co-host Samarian.
I'm here as well. I had some microphone issues, but you got it working. You know?
And now you've immortalized it, right? Because nobody needed to know you had, you never have microphone issues. That's what they say. Chester Puller said that.
Perfect.
Like, we, as leaders, right? Occasionally I get these emails that did you ever get these? You get these emails that bawl you out because you're not a good leader? I get these.
I'm not a leader.
No, you are a leader. No, you totally are a leader. You're more of a leader than I am in a lot of ways. I mean, what do I stand for? I've been pretty dodgy lately. I'm pretty flip-floppy. You know, I keep
you
a...
Flopper.
I do. You know, people want me to, you know, pick a side and polarize and all that kind of stuff. But you already picked sides. You know?
That's right.
You're a vegan.
I have not wavered since day one, Sean.
No, you haven't. You haven't. Fair ball. You have not. I mean,
People can put their trust in me. Give me your vote.
That's right. And subscribe to Rant Media, because that's what we need you to do. No, but seriously.
That's right.
You know, I mean, being the vegan thing. I mean, that's a big... I've even ripped on that. Shit, you've been wrote about that for 10 years easy. You know, 10 years easy. We've been riding you about that.
Yeah.
You know, so
well, yeah. I mean, I started being a vegetarian at the same time as Rant started. So if
Rant ever falls apart, we got to do that total apocalypse now thing where we like take you outside and we like kill the beast and like you have to like cut the head off a goat, like, and we'll make you
bathe
do it
in the blood and yeah. smear it on my face.
Well, and you have to eat it too, and we'll all like descend on it and like totally just feed. It'll be like goat meat, and the goat's like, I don't like this. This is a bad idea, guys. You know.
And I'll start praying to it, put its head on a stake, and renounce my atheist ways and proclaim this goat as my new god.
No, that's going too far, man. That's going too far. No, that's too far. I'd be like, whoa! Well, you're allowed to cut its head off, but you can't worship it. You know, that's you can kill it, but you can't, like, you know, elevate it to a higher status. That's just weird. You know, that's
out of control.
That's whoa. Whoa. What's the kid's name from Lord of the Flies? You remember that book, Lord of the Flies?
There was a kid. Piggy.
That's right. That's what I'd call it. That's what I'm going to call you when Rantmania fails. You're going to be Piggy with your little goat head.
Piggy.
I'm not Piggy. The vegan
I've
Piggy.
I've got Asmar.
What's that?
I've got the Asmar.
The Asmar?
Asmar. He calls his asthma Asmar.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Breaks his glasses, can't see.
Natural selection. You have been selected by the saltwater alligators as lunch. Hey, did you read that thing? Because I sent you that link today, and I'm like, hey, why don't you read all about this Pirate Bay stuff so we can like figure out what the fuck's going on?
Can you get a synopsis of that?
Can you
do some
brief us all on that? Did you ever do that?
I know it's only a couple hours before the show,
well,
but can you look at that?
Well, I don't know. Did you?
Yes, I did.
Well, there you go. Look at that. That's amazing after that setup and everything. So you know what's going on with the Pirate Bay thing, because I sure as hell don't.
Yes.
Okay, so give it to me, baby. Where are we at with that?
They went to trial. And
the Pirate Bay guys did.
The Pirate Bay guys from Europe.
Right, Sweden.
where are they from?
Swiss. No, they're Sweden. Shit, I'm going to get in trouble for that again. Anyway, all right.
Yeah. Not Switzerland.
Not Sweden. Yeah, I got big trouble for that.
Both sides went to court. Of course, the opposite side of the Pirate Bay has a huge roster of everybody and their dog from huge multimedia corporations, and they are, of course, saying, throw these guys in jail.
Oh, they're
stealing
out for blood.
Everything on the planet of the Earth.
Yeah.
They billions of dollars have lost just because of these guys. And the Pirate Bay guys on their side, they're saying, we don't have any content on our servers.
Dude, we've never even these assholes before, man. We don't even
exactly.
know. We just don't know.
We don't even make the torrents. It's our users that make the torrents. And the torrents don't contain any information. And if you take us down, you have to take Google down too, because all we do is index the torrents, the same as you can do on Google. And they showed it that you could just type in torrent search for anything on Google, and it shows the same results as Pirate Bay does. So they're saying, look, if you try and take us down, you're pretty much dismantling the internet, because that's the way the internet works. You search for things.
Nice. Nice.
So right now they're finished saying their sides,
right.
And it'll be approximately another month before a decision is made.
So it'll either be, we're destroying the internet, or Pirate Bay is going to get let go.
Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, next stop, Google. We're going to go fuck with Google after this. Yeah, you go ahead and do that. What are you, Europe? You can fuck with Google.
Exactly. So it's a very strong indication that Pirate Bay will be just fine, because if anybody with a brain will see that that's how the internet works here. Just because you take down one place, there's billions more. And these guys, they're also accusing these guys of profiteering off of the torrents, but
right.
They proved, showing their books to the court, that they actually lose money by running Pirate Bay.
Really?
Yeah, they're not making any money off the ads. They're making money off the ads, but it doesn't pay enough to pay for running the site.
Well, goddammit, isn't any of the counterculture guys making any money? Have you got to be like, fuck, I hope they were, because we're not making anything. You know, so I was kind of hoping that somebody was, and now you drop this shit on me where, no, Sean, it's...
it's in their
totally
favor.
Thankless
it's okay
task.
If we
we're
make
essentially
the money.
Screwed, you know. Yeah, you're never
going to
It's
okay
make
if we
money.
Make the money. We're producing, like, original content, but they're hosting a search engine, right? So
no.
It's kind of works in their favor in the court of law that they're not making any money off of it.
Well, they should be. You know, I guess they sell T-shirts. You should get some Pirate
yeah,
Bay T-shirts. Yar!
I guess so, yeah. There you go.
Yar!
Get a patch and wear
well, that's
a Pirate
cool.
Bay T-shirt.
That's cool. I'm glad that's working out then. Because, you know, there's some good people over there at Pirate Bay. Mind you, I wouldn't...
And also, we host our stuff on Pirate Bay.
There you
Rant
go.
Media's stuff is torrented on Pirate Bay, and that was one of their things that they presented in court, that there is a ton of legitimate content that is indexed through Pirate Bay. So if you take down Pirate Bay, you're taking down a lot of unique and original content that people have made themselves.
Well, hey, MP3.com much? You remember when they butchered that, when they deleted that archive?
Exactly. My band was on MP3.com, and when they took that down, they took away music from us and for the people.
That's one of the darkest days, I think, in web history, was when
it was like the burning of a library.
Yeah, the Great Burning of Rome. Yeah, it was it was a horrible...
Alexandria, right? Alexandria?
Yeah, the Library of Alexandria. While Nero fiddled. But, it's sick, you know. And when you think of that kind of stuff happening, it just... gets me crazy.
It gets me worked up, but I think they'll prevail, and we'll continue on doing what we're doing. And,
oh, of course. Well, we're never going to stop. I mean, we'll wind up being two nerds with string in the old folks' home. I mean, that'll be it. You know, a couple of fucking cans we stole. I got online!
Entertaining the rest of them.
You know, I'll probably have the same goddamn laptop, for Christ's sakes. Anyway, whatever.
It won't be working. You'll just clackety-clack, making up stories.
You know, there's nobody there.
The robots are coming.
The metal ones. Who eat people, and they need us.
They're eating my pills.
The robots are strong, and they have pinchers. But luckily, I've got my robot insurance, so we're
that's
good.
Right. That's good. Mr. Kennedy. It's okay. The robots are...
I'm totally going to be one of those escape and evasion old people. You know what I mean? I'm going to be the old guy who they phone up. They're like, "Hi, Ned. Yeah, it's Nancy at dispatch. Listen, Kennedy got out of the old folks' home again. No, we told him. We told him to keep him under wraps, but I guess he, you know, smuggled a fork in and sharpened it on the concrete, and he made a knife out of it. He's cut away the bonds and picked the lock, I guess.
Yeah,
he got over the fence, which is good because he's 85, and he did get away. And it's a 15-foot fence, you know. So
we're kind of still. That's good for him.
It's good for him. You know,
gets his exercise.
Lots of exercise. And you know, he didn't talk to anyone when we put him in back in the home last time. He just bounced the ball against the wall and caught it again for a couple of days. You know, that's my life. You know, but that'll be me. That will be me. I got some feedback here. Greetings.
Oh, good.
Greetings. No, actually, it's greeting.
Greetings.
Greeting, Sean and Marion. I've got a personal story that spun my head right round. Baby, right round. I was at my doctor's office for my annual checkup. Or is that my anus checkup? No, my annual checkup. I received a clean bill of health overall. Hooray for clean bills of health. But when my doctor asked me if there was anything else I could think of before I left, I said, not really. That's the only once in a while I get a minor heartburn. But I take a teaspoon of white vinegar and it cures it lickety-split. Then he wrote something on his prescription pad. It was a prescription for antacids. When I told him it wasn't necessary, that the vinegar works faster and cures it almost instantly, he said, there is no medicinal evidence to back up that only to back that up, and only a prescription can cure things like heartburn. End quote. I just stood there stunned. It was almost as if he was telling me that what it was that I did to cure my heartburn didn't work. But it did. Brain blue screen. What do you guys make of this? Personally, I'm just disgusted by the whole thing. Take it easy and keep screaming the truth. You're loyal, fine. DeRaven. And this is true. You know, I mean, first of all, I think he's great. He's got a good hookup. You know, you've got the source. I mean, you didn't even ask for anything. He was like, so now that we're done here, do you need anything?
Yeah.
You know, are you feeling it? You know, you must be hurting. It's been about, you know, two months. Yeah, you know. You're looking like maybe you need some melatonin. Let me set you up with some combat drugs, hey? Good deal, huh? Come on. Totally do it. You got good medical, man. Come on. Set it up. You know, I mean, he's the hookup. You got a good doctor there. Beyond that, though...
I mean, if the doctor explained why the vinegar didn't work in a medical terms, then I would more believe the doctor is like, well, you're just exasperating it, and it's only a temporary thing. If you want it long term, you take these, and this is why. Then, you know, you take something to a credence, not like, here's something to go buy. Then it's like, well, what's...
I would be, you know, you're a lot more responsive than I would be. You know, this reminds me of a great story. I went to a Bible study once. You're going to love this story. And I went to this Bible study. You know, it was a good time. People were talking. It was very sociable. You know. So at the end of the Bible study there, they were talking about smoking. And somebody in the Bible study smoked. And they said they really wanted to quit smoking. And one of the girls at the Bible study is a nurse, right? And she says, we started talking. I said, hey, you know what really worked for my mom, which is the truth, the hypnotism. Anybody wants to get off smoking? I watched my mom, you know, try to quit smoking a shitload of times. And it didn't work. You know, bad. And it's bad when you watch a smoker fail, you know, at the quitting thing because they're pecking through the ashtray, you know. And they look like they're fucking homeless. And it's really rough, you know, especially when you're a kid and this is your mom. You know, it's hard. It's hard to see that. So I told her, I said, yeah, you know, and I watched it. She told me she was going to see a hypnotist, and I totally wrote it off. I was just like, well, whatever. You know, yeah, okay, whatever, Mom. You know, pick up a pack of smokes before you go. And she did. She went to go see the hypnotist, and bang, totally, you know, she hasn't smoked a day since, and it's been years now. And she said, there's no withdrawal, no nothing. It was just like, oh, I got the software patch, and now I'm fine, you know? And I was like, wow. So that's when I started taking hypnotism pretty seriously, because I watched her, you know, fail for years. And, you know, it was pretty harsh. So anyway... So she says to me, she said, you know, there's no scientific verification for hypnotism. And I said, did you just tell me there's no scientific verification for hypnotism? Oh, no, it's not scientifically vigorous. And I said, did you just say something was scientifically vigorous to me at a Bible study? Did you just do that? Did you just come at me with a scientifically vigorous argument at a Bible study? And then she shut up and wouldn't talk to me after that. Yeah, that was the end of that story.
You'd think that she'd be in support of it. She's like, well, your mom obviously had faith in the hypnotism, and it worked for her. So therefore, it doesn't need any scientific backing.
You know what? There's
backing.
People have done. I think they've done, you know, placebos are some powerful things. You know, a lot of,
extremely.
Oh, yeah, like, don't fuck with a placebo. You know, if it's like, hey, I'll never die if I take a teaspoon of white vinegar. Hey, if that's working for you, you know, you're 150. I'm not going to explain
to you. Not dead yet.
Yeah, I'm not going to, you know, influence your voodoo by telling you that, you know, that's happy horse shit. You know, I'm going to, you know, back up your play. I'm going to be like, yeah, good for you, man. Give me some of that white vinegar and tell me where you got it from. You know, that kind of a thing. But
exactly. I mean, there's times when you don't want to take a placebo where it's obviously not going to cure your cancer that's in your stomach, right?
That's just kind of sad. When you see these folks who are desperate, you know, and science has told them, yeah, you got about 2 years and you're going to die. And then they, you know, there's all these hucksters and charlatans who are like, hey, are you willing to take a chance? Because what do you got to lose, you know?
Yeah, ready to take all their money.
Yeah, and then they're just, you know, they're going to bilk these people. And that happens. You know, it's sick and weird. Sick and weird.
Yeah.
Got another one here. Got another one. Hello, Sean and Sam. I first started listening to Newsreel early in 2007, and I've been off and on since. Make it sound like we're a bad habit. You know, I tried it. It was at a party. And somebody said, hey, man, you might like this. And I wanted to be cool. So I tried it, you know. And then, you know, I had it again a couple times, hanging out with the same guys. Anyway, thank you so much for all you guys did for me. 2007 was a metric assload of suck. Metric assload of suck for me, as opposed to a metric ton. It was a metric assload of suck. That's a good term. Yeah. Two of my friends died. That's bad. Two people dying. You know, one friend dies. That's unfortunate. Two friends die. That's just carelessness. And my father was diagnosed with cancer. Ow, that's a bad one. And without Newsreel and After Now in capital letters, I have no idea where I would be. Things have improved greatly in part to thanks Sean's uplifting advice and spirit-lifting hilarity. Thanks, guys, for doing so much without ever even knowing me. P.S. Newsreel gets listened to by all of my coworkers while I work. And this is
whether
from...
whether they like it or not.
That's right. That is right. This is... Well, and that's a good thing to do. Of course, the language is a bit hard.
It is. So if you work in a garage, maybe, or a construction place or factory, it might be okay. But in the uppity-uppity cubicle areas, it might not be so good.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, man. Jesus, I got a cough.
Hey, are you okay tonight?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I may have to phone it in. Don't know if I can do the show.
You're already doing it. Too late.
It's pretty bad. I'm trying to get like, you know, the final wow. the final cough there to get it, you know, gone. You know, so I can carry on. But I'll just I'll hork my way through it. That was from KO61. Our knockout
system. Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I like, you know, they go, I love us. But they love us. They love
us. We are spirit lifting.
We are. We are like the
sun.
Sean's
spirit lifting. I say you don't have one, so I can't be spirit lifting.
Yeah, you're like all fucked up on that. You know, it's like you're really excited about there being no hope for anything. You know, like
no
you're
hope.
Super. Yeah, you're super happy about like I'm gonna die.
Sean,
and turn to
Sean finds
meat.
No joy in the beautifulness that is the earth.
No, not. Well, I mean, it's nice. There's some nice crystals and stuff. You know, but
you want more. But Sean wants more. It's not enough that we have this planet here that we all live on. There has to be something past it.
Yeah,
there has to be something more.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'd be a really bad science fiction writer if I didn't think that way.
That's true, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I got to kind of be a bit of a dreamer. You know, that's my job. I'm the dreamer guy. I'm like I'm like the architect, and you're the engineer. You know, I'm the guy who draws all the arches that can't possibly exist, and you're the
this
guy
can't
who,
work.
Yeah, you know, and you sort of like rein it in. You know, but. I doesn't, you know, what I marvel at is how happy you are about it. You know, I'll be like, oh, not so long, I'm going to die, turn to worm meat. Soon my
you have
suffering
to be happy
will be
in the life that you have here and not try and look forward to something that doesn't exist after you die. So enjoy what you have
you don't
here.
Know that. You
that's
know
why
that.
I'm happy.
You don't know that. That's a theory.
Well, I haven't heard many reports back from all my dead relatives yet. So,
well, that doesn't
I'm
mean
banking
anything.
No. I'm banking no.
Well, I hope you bank right. You know, I hope it's not. Personally, I hope those guys in the Amazon got it. You know, the dudes who think the world is on the back of a turtle or something. You know, I'd be about that. I think that would just because even as I'm falling off,
what is the turtle on?
No, he's
another
swimming.
Turtle.
He's swimming
all
through
the
space.
Way down.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's like one of these.
What
you
does
know,
that
total
rest
like,
on?
Well, it's tribal, man. It's tribal. These are like the dudes with the poison arrow frogs and stuff. You know,
these are the questions you do not ask.
Well. Yeah, because, you know, these ancient mojo juju temple gods will smoke your ass, right? I'm just saying, I hope that they're right, you know, because if they're right, I really want to get the looks on all the Jews and the Arabs and everybody's faces as they're all falling off, and they're like, yeah, sorry, it's this one tribe, you know.
Well, I certainly don't want to go to a lot of the heavens that the these religious sects describe, because I just don't want to go to heaven with them.
Well, I'd be okay. I mean, I think that some heavens would be mutually exclusive. You know,
really
like
singing hymns all day
well,
long.
Well, I don't think that'd be. I don't think that'd be heaven. I think that. No. I think heaven would be like, do you actually know what it's worth? You know, because you know, true heaven is a place on earth. Yeah. Ooh, heaven is.
Ooh, baby,
a place on earth. Who sang that? Who sang that? God damn it.
I can't remember.
While you're thinking of that, I'm going to go straight to the news. In hijacked server news. This is a good story. This is a good story. Extremist groups in Southeast Asia are increasingly using the internet and social networking to radicalize youth of the region. Now, this is all within Southeast Asia. Okay, now, there's a bit of a tone here, so remember this news story here. The security report says the internet is bad. Right, it's being used to destroy children. Internet usage in Southeast Asia has exploded since 2000, probably because you gave people computers. And extremist groups have developed a sophisticated online presence. Yeah, nothing worse than those primitive online presences. I hate those.
That's awful. Yeah,
yeah, you know, it's Sanskrit
icons
internet.
And
no good
spinning skulls. And
yeah, it's bad. including professional media units. Whole
units.
We are the second Hezbollah suicide media squad. For extremist groups in our region, the internet is an increasingly important tool for recruitment to violence. Recruitment to violence. That's like Approach to Danger.
To violence.
It's recruitment to violence. There is an album title right there.
Yeah,
porn on
there
beta.
You go.
Recruitment
somebody
to violence.
Somebody note that one down.
There you go. Somebody should be writing down all these great band title names. Said the report by an Australian, the Australians, a Strategic Policy Institute, and S. Raja Ratnam Ratatadamramalam Ding Dong School of International Studies in Singapore. Good Lord. I'm going to die.
Sounds like it.
It's bad. For extremist groups, they're getting me. I've got to get the story out. The extremist groups in our region, the internet, is an increasingly important tool for recruitment to violence. Importantly, they are attacking only the West, but drawing on their narrative to attack and governance arrangements of regional states, said the report titled, Countering the Internet Radicalization in Southwest Asia. Bomb them.
East.
Oh, Southeast. Sorry. Well, West Asia, too. They're worried about them, too. The report said online extremism first appeared in Southeast Asia in early 2000. There was no online extremism before then. Particularly...
Nope, not at all.
In the Bahasa, Indonesia, and Malay language cyber environment.
Ooh, are we in a cyber environment right now?
A cyber environment. This is our cyber environment. We're cyber environmental terrorists.
I'm cybering right now.
We're cybering, and I'm cybering. Since the internet usage in the region has exploded, so to have extremist websites, chat rooms, and blogs. Nothing worse than those extremist blogs. Fucking Americans.
It's right
Tuesday, and I still hate Americans. It's Wednesday. Burned five more flags today. Stomped on them. Today's Thursday. Set up my poster
almost
of George
ready
Bush
to leave
and
my
threw
room.
Every shoe in the house at him. I can hit George Bush in the nose with my shoe from 200 fucking yards. You know. Come on, man. Come on, man. So they're talking about how, you know, of course, the internet, really bad for these
people.
You
know what? I'm very sure that they did this back in the day.
Lost you.
That printing press has radicalized the way people communicate, and the extremist groups are using it, non-religious groups are using it to attack us. We must ban it.
They made it so that every printing press had a deviation on it. So every time you did it, like, the letters would go in some way. So if you printed something, you could go back and find the exact press that it came from and who that owner of that press was. And then they'd come for you in the night, you know what I mean? And they'd kick your ass.
They do that now with printers, too.
Yeah.
They use yellow ink on the printers, on some certain models of printers, so they can trace back any subversive printouts that may happen.
Oh! Because, you know, it's all about the did you subversively print your ass off of the photocopier again?
I don't think... It's not the laser printer. It's the inkjet printers, because... I don't know, it's easier or something. Because people print, I think it's to fight against counterfeiting is what they said.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it has many, many more uses other than counterfeiting, it seems.
Yeah, but, you know, well, you could make a collage of all your favorite porn magazines. You know, you could go in and photocopy them on laser copiers. And then you could make, like, a Photoshop porn collage and put it up in your boss's office when he's away.
You know.
And then you could laminate it to his wall with with PL400, you know. So he'd have to pretty much replace all the gyprock in his office, you know, to get the cascading, you know, oral sex loop you've built, you know, out of the office, you know. But it's a good idea, you know. Not saying you should do that. It's just one possible application for a laser printer, you know. I'm just... just talking off the top of my head. Now, you've got to get this upgrade, Sim. You've got to get this upgrade here. This is the Camborg News. The whole fucking internet sent me this one. There's two stories.
Ah, yes.
The whole internet sent me these stories. And generally, I don't report on stories the whole internet sends me. But this
everybody
one,
everybody already knows about it. Yeah.
Well, there were threats. You know, people were threatening me and stuff. And HTP, to be fair, HTP was the first one to get this to me. Okay? Because I'll go with first to Mark.
They're on the ball.
HTP, who they didn't actually like. That's a name I've sort of given them. And so anyway,
okay.
A Canadian filmmaker plans to have a mini camera installed in his prosthetic eye to make documentaries and raise awareness about surveillance in society. Rob Spence, 36, who lost an eye in an accident as a teenager, said his so-called project iBorg is to have the camera, battery, and wireless transmitter mounted on a tiny circuit board. Originally, the whole idea was to do a documentary about surveillance. I thought it would become some sort of a superhero fighting for justice against surveillance, Spence said. In Toronto, there are 12,000 cameras in Toronto. I didn't know that. That's a lot of cameras. Yeah. But the strange thing I discovered is that the people don't care about the surveillance cameras. They're more concerned about me and my secret camera because they feel it's worse invasion of their privacy. Weird.
That's what you've been saying all along. It's like, I can see this with my eye. So what do you care if I take a picture with a camera?
Yeah, exactly. I've never really gotten it. It's there. You know, what the hell? Even cameras aren't that big of a deal. I mean, they're finding that now in Britain, right? Because they're finding, oh, we got all this video footage of people stealing stuff. Yeah, there they go. Yeah, he's going in there. He's taking
stealing it again.
Oh, he dropped the TV. Yeah, he cut himself a little bit there. Yeah, he's taking a knee. Ooh, that's smarts. I hate that.
Oh,
did you ever
exactly,
get that?
Yeah.
You know, the glass? You know, I hate that. Yeah, he's good now.
Yeah.
Okay, he's walking. You know, there's no reaction.
There was a story today I was reading about. They put these GPS things on criminals' feet, right?
Right.
On their feet. And some criminal went off and killed somebody. And well, you know what they have? A recording of where they're wandering around afterwards. It didn't prevent the killing. It just showed them where they did it.
Well, which is why they need the remote detonation taser thing that they were going to do for the planes. Did you get that story? A guy made up a collar that was going to go around every single passenger, his wrists. And it had a concept device. It had a built-in taser in it, so if at any moment they could taser any member of the compartment. So if you stand up and you got like, you know, the gun, you're like, Allah Akbar. Well, you got to make sure, you know, you can drop, you know, Joey Shithead there without, you know, killing everybody else in the cabin. You know, what would be a better way to do this? So we just hit the button.
16C, return to your seat. Or
well,
you
fuck it. We haven't got time.
Tased.
Hit the panic button. Everybody's doing the bacon. Kiss the floor. Welcome to Ride the Lightning Air. Everybody's a carpet bug.
Wow.
Right? Everybody's doing the omelet, right? They're all like, whoop, whoop, you know? Not to mention, if you're getting
my
too uppity.
My child!
Can I have another glass of Coke? Nine! Okay, I'll just not. Thanks for flying air.
Well, all they would do is put it on a kid then and see if they tase the kids, right?
Well, there's that
you
dude who got
that
nailed
to
for
a
that.
Child.
Well, the dude got nailed for that down in the States. Remember I made that joke about the electronic fencing and the dog? And you put the collar on the kid, and then you put another collar on the front, so if the kid says anything, it tasers him. So it's the barking curb thing, you know? And, but a guy did that. Yeah, a dude did that in the States. Yeah. And so, you know, kids tried to leave the yard, got neck tased, you know.
See, they shouldn't follow our advice. It's only a comedy show.
Yeah, that's right. Don't, you know, for information and entertainment purposes only, people. You know, don't be, don't actually,
your children.
Some guy's like halfway through a caulking tube of PL-400 in his boss's office right now. And he's like, oh shit, really? Oh, damn.
Oh, damn. I thought it was a good idea. Sean told me to do it.
Yeah, dear Sean, how do I get PL-400 off of... In...
I need the answer quick.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, I'm talking about the stun weapons from the bracelets. In stun weapon news, thank you very much, Nicotine. Now, of course, Taser's been around for a while, right? But check this out. A technique thought to be promising in cancer treatment, this is a little disturbing, is also being investigated for a taser-like weapon that stuns for longer.
Oh, yeah.
New Scientist has learned the technology involves short, nanosecond-long pulses of extreme voltage. So 100,000 volts isn't what we're talking about here. We're talking like huge numbers, but a microsecond pulse of it. Microsecond pulses have been used for years to punch temporary holes in cell membranes to shove genes or drugs into the cells. But the nanosecond pulses have a similar effects on individuals or organ jellies inside a cell, such as the nucleus. For reasons yet unknown, which is important, that the yet unknown part, that for reasons yet unknown, we don't know why this happens, but,
works.
You know, sometimes when we hit it, it can cause a cell to destroy itself. In the process.
Well, I hope the on button doesn't get stuck.
Well, that's when they use it on the cell, and they're not sure why the cell dies. Something being investigated as a cancer treatment, but the nanosecond pulses are also being researched as a way to temporarily disable human muscles. Much of the research...
Oh, that's handy.
No, it is. It's good, you know. Much research to date on nanosecond pulses has come from the Frank Reedy Research Center for Bioelectrics at Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia. Old Dominion! Where some research is sponsored by the Pentagon's Joint Non-Lethal Weapons Directorate, or the JNLWD. Or just know, lifing with Doug. You know, it's, it looks like it should be What Would Jesus Do? But of Quantico,
we're working on it.
You know, we're working on it. Efforts are ongoing as part of our human electromuscular in cats. Human electromuscular incapacitation bioeffects research. That's what I'm into. I'm into Hemib Effer, confirms David B. Law, Technology Division Chief of the JMLWD. The short pulse stimulation research appeared to be demonstrating a degree of voluntary muscular impairment or inhibition that remains to be in effect for durations longer than the exposure period, he adds. Wow, this guy's a good fun at parties. Existing tasers use multiple electric shocks for a few microseconds over a 5-second or 7-second cycle. The shocks are delivered to the body through twin electrodes fired in a dart. The pulsing electric field created inside the body disrupts the electrical activity of the nerve membranes and are responsible for carrying out instructions feedback around the body. The effects wear off almost immediately, according to Taser spokesman Steve Tuttle. So the suspect is incapacitated for just long enough to make the arrest. Even shorter nanosecond pulses have the potential to cause similar but longer-lasting stunning. One study on cells in vitro indicates 60 nanosecond pulses could cause profound and long-lasting loss of the electrical activity of membrane cells similar to nerve cells. The effects lasted 15 minutes. So that's the time frame that you're getting hit with. You get nailed with this thing, you're down for the count for 15 minutes. And but, you know, it's important to remember that some cells, when they get hit with this stuff, for reasons yet unknown, die. You know, so you might want to, you know...
Slight side effects
Some side effects may occur. Like, you know, death. You know, like death is a big one. But this is...
losing part of your body.
But there's big research being done on this. And I'm not really against non-lethal weapons. You know?
Well, it's better than lethal weapons.
Fucking yeah, it is. You know, it is. You know, if you're going to have... if you had a choice between giving the Nazis machine guns and poison gas, and giving the Nazis tasers and some tear gas, what would you rather have given the Nazis? You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
If you're not killing people, you're not killing people. You know, that's just how it is. Now, there's only so far you can really allow things to be pushed. I mean, naturally, just because you have a taser and you're not killing anybody, that doesn't mean you have, you know, carte blanche to just do whatever you want in the world, yada yada, you know. Hey, I'm not killing people, so I'm okay, you know. Technically, by that logic, you know, my favorite people in the world, you know, would be, you know, able to carry on. Like, Scientologists would be able to carry on. We're not killing anybody, right? Well, actually, they...
No.
Well, they are killing people, actually.
Well, true.
Yeah, you know, they get them on the boat, bring them out to sea, kill them. You know, that's how it is.
That's what they do.
I hear that they drink blood, actually. Yeah, I should start making shit up.
I've heard that.
Yeah, you know.
Don't say they do. Say you've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, that they drink blood, you know, and by the way. Now, that even makes them sound cool. Which is another thing I don't get.
Yeah.
What in the fuck went wrong? That's Anne Rice for you, man. She fucked that up, man. Vampires are cool again. You know? Vampires are cool again. And
they're all the rage. They've been cool.
She fucked that up back in the day. When she came
out
with Vampire Lestat, she was like cool. And you know, I think that's what we should do. Seriously, maybe with the next season, man. We should go vampire hunting and put them back to where they belong, so they're blood-sucking monsters that suck.
Just creatures.
Yeah, they're things, you know. And it's like, oh, I'm in love with them, you know. Eat a bag, seriously. you know. And on that note, let's talk about some illegal food, Sam. Yes, you're a terrorist. You, Sam, are a terrorist. You are...
Really?
Yes. Oh, fuck yeah, are you ever. As our government hands over billions, this is the U.S. now. Our government hands over billions to Wall Street bankers, jobless Americans live in tent cities and collect food stamps in record numbers. Now when we need it the most, growing our food may be against the law and punishable by a fine for up to $1 million. Now, I talked about this bill before. Think I'm joking? Meet Bill H.R. 875. Now, I've got a link to the bill, and I've got a link to a video about the bill under this story on the website. The Food Safety Modernization Act of 2009. Now, I talked about this bill back in the day. I covered this almost a year ago, but I guess it didn't go away. It introduced by Rosa DeLauro, when her husband, Stanley Greenberg, who works for Monsanto. The insanity doesn't stop there. Fishing boats, hot dog stands, neighborhood vegetarian booths, farmers market will be federally regulated under the same draconian law. It all, as always, the spin is designed to make you, the public, believe the new provisions are for your own good. Under the deceitful guise of protection, this goal of this bill is crystal clear: to prevent us from locally growing our own food so multinational agribusiness can completely control the production and distribution of our food supply. I refer you to the usual suspects: Monsanto, ADM, Sodexo, Tyson, and Smithfield. The bill is designed to allow corporations, with the help of their hired government guns, to force small competitors, you and me, out of business. It is as evil as it gets, folks. Since the dawn of man, we've hunted and farmed our own food. It's second nature. To be stripped of the most fundamental act of survival is equivalent to the kind of mass enslavement you only read about in history books, like the kind under the pharaohs of ancient Egypt. Lurking within the maze of technical lawyer-like jargon, the bill places wildly restrictive regulatory encumbrances on the average vegetable-growing Joe the plumber, small organic farmer, or anyone for that matter who may one day decide to grow a small garden. The bill would require anyone associated with growing, storing, transportation, or processing of food to be subject by inspections by federal agents of their property and of records related to food production. You'd be required to conduct special tests, maintain samples and records, allow government officials to mandate the use of chemical pesticides, fertilizers, specific types of nutrients, packaging, and temperature controls. Violations of any of these provisions would subject the offender to property seizure, imprisonments, and fines of up to $1 million.
Imprisonment. So they're going to just overload the average man with red tape for growing food in their own garden.
It's a whim
because
law.
They can't fill out a stack of paperwork.
It's a whim law. You got a ranch over there? You got a ranch? Well, I don't have the laws. Just come on your ranch and check out what you're doing. But I do know you're growing food because I could see it from here. So I need to come in and check to make sure your food you're growing is, safe. Right.
Exactly. So Monsanto will have these ready-made packages to sell you. It's we've done all the paperwork for you. Just give the money to us, and you can just streamline your farm into legality.
Exactly. And of course, the packages won't even be the... I mean, they're not going to give any... They'll make the licenses, and then they won't give out the licenses. And it's just to choke out the small guy. That's it.
And line the pockets of Monsanto, of course. That's
they're going to be making money. Lynn Conan Cole with Op-Ed News writes, "This bill is monstrous on level after level. The power would give to Monsanto, the criminalization of seed banking, prison terms and confiscatory fines for farmers for the 24 hours GPS tracking of their animals, the easements on their property to allow for warrantless government entry, stripping of their property rights, imposition of the filthy, greedy industrial side of anti-farming international industrial standards to implemented farmers. The only part of our food system that still works, the planned elimination of our farmers through all of these means. The corporations want the land. They want more intensive industrialization. They want the end of normal animals so they can substitute patented, genetically engineered ones they own. They want to end of normal seeds and thus seed banking by farmers or individuals. They want control over all seeds, animals, water, and land." Very, very scary stuff. Very scary
That's
stuff.
Awful.
Yeah, and...
I could never have imagined this, but it totally makes sense in the next step that the companies would want to do it. It's very smart on their behalf.
You recommended a book to me. Didn't you recommend a book to me one time about this kind of stuff? About, the seeds and all that kind of stuff?
No, I didn't.
No, I had a fan. I had a fan sent me a book. That's what it was. About this this very thing. I'll have to dig that out.
I'm still looking for a good documentary about this kind of stuff. Organic versus the Monsanto and the seeds and stuff. I haven't found a good documentary about it yet. So
info@rantradio.com. If you know of a good documentary about that, then definitely get a hold of Sim, info@ranradio.com, and, let us know, because we need to know about this stuff. So, I mean, in a way, it's kind of a, Monsanto's evil? No, really? That's why, I don't cover stories about, the businesses are corrupt. Your info on the internet isn't safe. Really? Wow. Who knew? Who knew,
Who knew?
But we're talking about... You're talking about vilification, right? So they got the food.
Yes.
And the other thing I was thinking about why they would be regulate, why they're trying to vilify the internet, is because There's a lot of these people.
It's uncontrolled.
Well, it's uncontrolled, but there's a lot of these people in Southeast Asia and a lot of these countries that are, you know, kind of third world countries and stuff like that are just getting on the internet now. And they're getting exposed to a lot of crazy ideas that no one's ever been exposed to before. You know, like freedom. You know, everything from like, you know, Chanticleer singing Agnes Day to Japanese tentacle porn. You know, I mean, it's all right there, you know, as much as you want. You know, you fill thy boots, as they say, and, you know, you're good to go. So it's
ideas are dangerous, though, Sean. Ideas are dangerous.
Well, they are.
They actually do stuff.
They are. So, you know, nothing original is ever done. I mean, you look at countries around the world, who's everybody modeling everything after? They're going after the countries that have the highest population density, and the country that's doing the best with that is who? China. Right? China. Yep. China's the one everybody wants. All the big government evil dudes, when they want to know how something's going to work, they look at China. That's the big one that they want to... They want to emulate. And people have already praised China for their surveillance packages. I mean, it's all throughout multiple news stories I've done where everyone's like, yeah, we're getting our lead from China's making great leaps and bounds in this kind of stuff. So stories that happen in China, I look at them as sort of a... it's kind of like a what could be coming. You know what I mean? Because this is the kind of stuff that you'll see packaged again and sold again. It goes from China, then it'll go to, like, Britain, and then it'll come over to the United States, and then it'll sort of, you know... That's how they do it. Now, so that's why this story from Monochrome is it's a scary one. In web addiction news, okay?
A web addiction.
No, this is a big news in China. I've covered this before, and it's not going away. Even though it was only a week before Spring... Let me get through this. Even though it was a week before Spring Festival, the most important family holiday of the Chinese calendar, Wang Hongxia was forcing her son out of her house. She took her 12-year-old from their house in the northwest city of Xi'an to a secluded Beijing military compound more than 700 miles away. Like many other parents across China today, Wang felt as though she had no choice. "Things have absolutely gone out of control," said Wang, 45, almost in tears. "My son just beat and bit me again this morning after I wouldn't let him touch the computer." Okay, like, if he got a new game and 28 days later he's like, it's not the computer, lady. Okay, seriously. You know.
Computer.
With the world's largest netizen population of 300 million, that's pretty significant, China is struggling with a new plight, internet obsession among its youth. It's a plight. The plight. Lighting the plights.
You know, if a country never had ice cream and then somebody brought in ice cream, it'd probably be an internet ice cream obsession. An ice cream obsession, right? So they've never had this freedom to the internet before, and now it's an obsession.
It's a plight, man. It's an ice cream plight. It's a soft serve plight is what it is. You know, it really is. Since the 2004 establishment of the country's first internet addiction center, okay... The military-run boot camp, not scary at all, in Beijing, where Wang took her son, more than 3,000 adolescent and young adult patients have been treated for internet addiction. Hundreds of similar treatment centers have mushroomed in recent years around China. Good choice of words, them mushrooming, being kept in the dark and fed nothing but shit. Joining other centers operating elsewhere in Asia and the United States. Hello. The U.S.-based Center for Internet Addiction Recovery classifies the disorder as a compulsive behavior, which the internet becomes the organizing principle of addicts' lives. Holy shit! So if the internet is an organizing principle, like, dude, you and I are like, we're
gone. Everybody in this room is gone.
Oh, these guys are like, these guys are on, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're all.
They're
like,
beyond gone.
Yeah, they're you're infectious. You know, seriously, you're like.
There's the link, netaddiction.com. That's the Center for Internet Addiction Recovery.
Yeah. Through the fledgling.
And they have a blog. They have a blog.
Of course they do. Today, didn't get on the internet. Oh, damn it, here I am again. though the fledgling disorder, it's not a fully developed, it's just a baby disorder. We haven't got all the drugs we need yet to make people dumb. Has been widely identified. Defining it in China has not been easy. Dao Ran, director who ran so far away, director of the Beijing Treatment Center and a colonel in the People's Liberation Army, the PLA, helped in coming up with the strict definition of internet addiction last fall. Consecutive usage of the web for 6 hours a day for three straight months is an addiction. For three straight months. So if you do 6 hours a day for three straight months, that's an addiction.
Sign me up.
That's my job. Like I was doing.
Exactly.
Like I was probably doing 6 hours a day. When I was doing Cult Man, I was doing 6 hours a day outside of work. Like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The new standard, which is still pending official endorsement by Ministry of Health, has aroused widespread skepticism in Chinese cyberspace, as opposed to other cyberspace. This is Chinese cyberspace. With many arguments that too many people could be wrongly categorized as internet addicts under this definition. Yeah, okay, internet addiction is retarded, okay? It's not a real thing. The murky guidelines have not stopped anxious parents like Wang, who wants Wang, from dragging their children to Dao's camp, a grim four-story building in Beijing's major military compound. Once checked in, most patients are required to stay for 3 months without access to the outside world, cell phones, or, of course, computers. What? But unlike other similar camps, parents or patients of the Internet Addiction Center have to stay at the camp to receive treatment, too. Oh, the parents of the patients. Because according to Dow, internet addiction is often a result of parenting mistakes. And for most families, proving this treatment is for a child is already a sacrifice. The total cost per family usually amounts to about $3,000. How much as an average Chinese couple earns in 3 months. So,
wow.
You know, check the whole family in down the local, you know, Auschwitz, because you've been spending too much time
down.
Googling porn, you know, really.
It's a nice business they got set up there, then.
Pretty
eh?
Good. Pretty good. Come stay with us, you know, and we'll get it going on for you, you know. Life in the treatment camp, not surprisingly, is defined by strict semi-military disciplines. Patients get up at 6:30, and go to bed at 9:30. Wow, that's a lot of rack time. That is a lot
that
of
is.
Rack time. That's like you're getting
9
sleep.
Hours.
Yeah, that's all right. Their daily schedule includes military drills, therapy sessions, reading, and sports. At first, I felt like I was living in hell. Well, you're not getting 9 hours of sleep at night in hell, man, says 22-year-old Yang Zudong, a camp resident for 2 months. But over time, it gets more comfortable and peaceful. How can it get more peaceful than 9 hours of sleep a night? Holy fuck. I'm not worried about China anymore. Their army sleeps 9 hours a night, for Christ's sakes. I mean, I think I got 9 hours of my entire basic course. Despite the small steps he's made, like eating a diet that consists of something other than instant noodles, the Beijing native admitted he still got upset too easily and was afraid of people. Two signature symptoms of internet addiction, according to Dow.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, if you eat egg noodles, you know, those Mr. Noodle things... And you're afraid of people. Those are two signs of internet addiction. I'm afraid of people. Hell yeah, I'm afraid of people
that run that camp.
Yeah, I'm afraid of Americans. And I'm afraid of Chinese camp and German dudes who want to turn me into a camp because I watch too much porn on the internet. Yeah, I'm afraid of those guys. Yeah, can you hear me, Bowie? Can you broadcast nipple piercings, Bowie? I think life in this camp has definitely calmed me down to some degree. How could it not be? You're nine. Fuck, you're in a coma. 9 hours a fucking night. I'd be embarrassed, but I'm far from ready to get out since I'm getting so much fucking sleep. Actually, no. It says
I think he's addicted to sleep because he's
I think
doing
he's
it
got
more
a sleep
than
disorder.
6 hours a day.
Fucking
yeah.
12 sandwich-eating Chinese internet-addicted dude. He's probably doing something when he was on there. Anyway. That lack of motivation is widely shared by the young adults at the camp, even among patients who, with decorated academic backgrounds, Didi, a 20-year-old college sophomore who did not disclose his full name, picked up an online gaming almost as soon as he got into the prestigious Tsinghua University. He said he became so obsessed that he skipped all his classes for an entire semester and eventually received academic warnings from the school. As many as 30 students from Bida and Tsinghua, China's most storied universities, have been to the camp, says Dao. It has become an increasing trend among students from the other top schools. Well, they probably wanted to get some sleep. I mean, these kids are getting beaten pretty hard, you know. Parents got huge pressure on them, you know, so they're looking for a little bit of, you know, grace, you know, a place they can get some rest.
Yeah. You know. Some people just aren't cut out for university.
Well,
maybe
like,
he wants to develop video games. Maybe he wants to be a programmer for a video game company.
Well, and, you know, I'm not a big fan of university anyway. I mean, I think it's a good idea, but it's because I never went. You know, if I went to university, I think it was cool, you know, but I'm jealous. You know,
well, they teach you stuff there.
They do. They do. But you know, it's important because otherwise you won't get some stuff like we got from the whole internet sent me this one here too. This was the other thing that everybody sent.
Oh yeah,
under Cyberpunk Kit was Star Pilot. This demo is a it's basically like an augmented reality interaction thing that broadcasts a screen on any surface and allows you to manipulate images using your hands on that surface from like a little neck pendant. It's pretty crazy.
It's the hands thing again.
No. This is different. This is something you wear. This is a wearable.
Okay.
No, this is this is, it's like imagine everything you could do with a Wii, but you're doing it with like something you wear around your neck with a micro projector and everything. It's really wild. It's
good for short. Anything that anything you do with your hands has to be for a very short period of time. So if it's limited to short periods of time, like I could not wave my hands in the air to navigate websites for a half an hour. It's just not possible. That's why our arms rest on tables using mice.
No,
for short periods, like navigating things and finding your way around town. Awesome.
Well, and it's also the application of technology. This is like, I mean, we're still very much beta with a lot of this, you know. But it's
The projector, wearable projector, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's worth it. It's a video thing. You can check it out. I was going to put it in recommend.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
There's no link. I want to see it.
Well, you can see it on the thing.
I'll wait till Monday.
Well, you wait till you know, you don't read it anyway. Well, you read the last thing I said, so I can't say that. And today's Daily Hacks, we got two of them. One is a big list of sites that teach you how to do stuff. That's actually what it's called. When you go to the website, that's what it's called.
Really?
A big list of sites that teach you how to do stuff. Thanks very much to Hero.
Perfect.
With all due respects to Kevin Swift, the web is no longer only for complaining about movies. In fact, there's a large number of very helpful sites that teach you how to do things. There are do-it-yourself sites, but we're not talking about building a deck or baking a cake. The web is full of more general interest that give quality instructions, all sorts of fun and useful projects, including how to build a deck or bake a cake. So,
Sean shows you how to make sandwiches, too.
Hey!
So we're adding to that.
There's a right way and a wrong way to do anything. You know, there it is.
That's right.
You know, and if it sucks, if you can't make a good sandwich, you know, you meet the right girl, you want to, you know, get together, you want to impress her, bring her over to the house, be like, honey, I'm going to make you a sandwich. And she's like, well, you know, she went over to the other guy's house and he made her a sandwich.
Right.
And she'd
be falling apart. It'd be slip sliding everywhere.
One bite of his sandwich and she would not, you know, be impressed with his sandwich abilities, right? But, you know, he goes to the Wog's house, has the Wog sandwich, and she's going to, you know, smack her lips together and say, Rocket Balls! and immediately have
that's
sex
right.
with you. That's what she's going
to
do.
Chicka 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 bow bow.
Chicka 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 bow wow sandwich. and as well, we got a more techie one, which is Pod to PC. Thank you very much, Fact Techie. This is a neat one. This is a free application which allows you to transfer, copy, or rip music from your iPod to your PC. You can transfer music, videos, and playlists from your iPod using this application. Pod to PC is compatible with iPod Shuffle, iPod Nano, iPod, iPod Photo, iPod Video, iPod Touch, Fisher-Price, iPod, iPhone, my eyes, me, it's compatible. And compatible with all generations of iPod. And the application will work with Windows 2K, XP, Vista, and with iTunes. So very, very,
very
cool.
Nice.
Yes, very sexy little thing to make sure that you... get you, the thing that you need.
It's not just a one-way process anymore.
No, that's right.
Get your stuff off of it now.
That's right. It's good. It's very good. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry. I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And they really do care. The Wogs Who Care. The WWC. And the Wogs Who Care, if they cannot donate, which, you know, generally they subscribe. The Wogs Who Care, the WWC, the Flying Monkey Armada, known as the WWC, distribute the show. Sometimes they play it out loud. Sometimes they give it to people on buses. Sometimes they leave it USB keys that they don't need anymore. They just put a bunch of shows on there because people will listen to it when they want to check out what's on the thing because they might think it's porn, you know, because that's what people think they find. You know?
Porn.mp3.
Yeah, there you go. And play it. You know, see what they get. But if you can, donate or subscribe, because really subscribing is where it's at. $5 a month is what we're talking about here. If you think it's worthwhile and you get some enjoyment out of the show, please pay me, you know, please donate. Don't pay.
Pocket change.
$5 a month. $1.25 a show, you know. I mean, hey, it's a pretty good deal, you know.
Try and find a cheaper entertainment than this.
For the price of a shitty cup of coffee, you can, you know, keep this poor fat internet guy. Try to make more money than Pirate Bay, for Christ's sakes. I mean, you know, everybody's losing money on this. It's horrible. That's depressing, you know. Or you could send me, like, Pirate Gold, Treasure Maps, Alien Artifacts. Cool. Yep. You can do any of that stuff. And you send that to Rand Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada. That's Victor 4M, 2M4. That's not Victor, actually. It's a V4M, 2M4. It's kind of half phonetics, half not.
Yeah.
And I got a digital baptism, Simi. I got a...
Ooh,
yeah, normally I don't do inanimate objects. I don't, but this is for a plane. This is for somebody's plane that they built, right? Which is, you know, kind of his little UAV he's working on here. So Cobra's always building these planes. He's come up, he's seen me, he showed me the footage. And he's built a new plane. He wanted me to name his new plane, which is like naming a ship, you know. So I thought that's kind of cool, you know.
That is very cool.
That is cool. So I've decided I'm going to name his plane Farsight, which I like that one. I like the term Farsight. I think it's a good name for a plane, you know. So
very apt.
And it's a flying, you know, it's a camera. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. And, of course, I want to thank the... What?
I didn't get my C-section, so, you know...
Didn't I give you your C-section?
No, I skipped right over it right again. It's big highlighted in yellow or green, too.
Because
last week, I said, I put it in yellow, and you said, no, I got to put it green, and this time it's green, and you skipped right over it. I was very sad.
We can do it now.
So we'll do it now. On Monday, I'll be picking up the patrolling DVDs, which is very exciting. I can't wait to see them.
Oh, good. Good. So that means you're going to be shipping right quick.
Very soon after that, yep. And they're regular, normal DVDs, which is awesome. I can't wait to see actual product arrive. So I'll be picking those up on Monday, and I'm almost done the 10th anniversary video. Probably be out next week. A couple days after you're hearing this on the interweb. So that's very exciting, too. It's very funny stuff looking back at it. And I've got a whole bunch of multiple cameras and I'm switching back and forth. Looks awesome.
Right.
And I also processing the After Now video, which looks very, very cool. I'm playing with the colors a bit, making it look good. And that'll be on the After Now DVD, which will be way later. But it was all in the 10th anniversary, right? So I'm...
Oh,
processing
good.
Right now.
So this is when people
want entertainment.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I've got to get some more. I've got to get some more After Now stuff. I've been working pretty steady on the format. Actually, the story's really evolving. The book is getting longer.
Good.
More's
better.
I'm not really concerned about the length of the book anymore. You see, because when you put out your own stuff, you don't need to worry about what the editor thinks. You know what I mean? you know, because I mean...
No, you don't. You shouldn't, really, right?
Yeah, no, and if I've got somebody... Because these books, I mean, what are we charging... What does it cost for the... what does it cost for the Scab Wings Abaddon? If you go buy a copy of Scab, what's it run?
It's not very much. It's like $20 or
20
something.
Bucks, right? 20 bucks.
And you look at the size of it. This is something very important. You look at the size of the Scab Wings of Abaddon, the number of pages. Don't compare that to a regular book.
Well,
if you go
into
a bookstore and you open it up, it's like a Fisher Price book.
Well,
the letters are 2 inches high. Look at the Scab Wings Abaddon; it's dense. You actually get something for your money.
Oh yeah, and the thing is with the word count on Scabbed, I think was 234,000 words. Okay, what the length of that is. And when you a standard like the pocketbooks, you know, like the Harlequin Romance size, like you know the Tom Clancy books or whatever, they have 450 words per page. And that's how many words fit on those pages. So you do the math there, you know, what's 235,000 divided by 450? You know, that's going to be like...
It is. 522.
Right. So have you ever seen...
So there you go.
That's like some big fat... That's like The Stand.
That's a tome.
Huge. That's like Stephen King's The Stand. It's huge. And when you think about it that way, it's just like... you know, crazy.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. So we're packing the words in there. It's totally readable, but I mean, they waste so much space in books. I mean, we're not going to kill the trees. We're saving trees is what we're doing, really. Saving the trees.
That's why. Well, for the next one though, I want to. I'd be okay. I mean, because really, there's not going to be much more of a charge if the next book is say 400,000 words. It's not going to be that much more than $20. I don't think. So I'd be getting like you know twice as much book. And, you know, the kind of people that are going to, like, if you're going to enjoy the book, you're going to put it down within the first, like, 3 or 4 chapters, right? So, you know, you're not ripped off. But if you enjoy the book, I'd like to, you know, basically capture your brain for, you know, a couple of weeks, you know, at the minimum. So that's coming along well. Just my footnotes on that particular notion. But
very
yeah.
exciting. Lots yeah. of good projects coming out.
I like it. I like it. And you're working on the what's the major
the 10th anniversary? The major push next is well, we're going to put Newsreel on DVD. That's coming up pretty soon. So if people want to have it all in one package and have it without downloading it or whatever, so they don't have to download the archives, that's going to be available. But the big thing is the SKTFM TV DVDs coming out. I'm going to put out a two-set thing, but that'll be after I put I edit the Rant Invades America. So that won't be for a little bit, but cool. That'll be an exciting project. Our multiple trips to the U.S.
Yeah, which reminds me, we've got to do that one where I want to go down to the Oregon coast. I still want to go down there. I'd like to do a big rant beat out there. It'd be sweet to
go
in there.
Yeah.
So I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys. I think that's where I left it. In their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you'd like to send me, you can reach me at Newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. Be sure to sign up for the Rant Media newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. That is the best way to hear about stuff that's coming out. And, well, we're going to start getting a little bit more involved, rant meets and things like that. That's all going to be coming up in the next little while as well, where it's going to be a bit more, we want to start building the community back up, get this thing back on track to what it really could be, because we've got, now is the time. You know, realistically, we've been around for this long. You know, you guys have stuck with us for all year. You know, we're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. So it's
right.
It's up to us to, you know, build our
time
own
time to join hands.
It is. And pray.
Yep.
Pray with me now.
Sim, lower your heads, people.
Sim will lead us in prayer because he's an atheist. Piggy. If you like the music in the background, check out some Psytrance. And I'm going to, do you have anything for the final music you want to listen to? Anything?
Oh, God, you put me on the spot again.
Again, yeah. Well, you'd think that you would have thought of that by now. Did I do Eat Your Brains recently? Have I done?
I don't think so. I don't remember you mentioning that.
Oh, Coltrane, Eat Your Brain. What a great great song. Yeah, John,
there you go.
Yeah, Coltrane, All We Want to Do. Oh, I did do it. I did do
oh,
it.
Oh, you've done that before, way in the past, yeah.
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
I seem to have memories
I think
of
so.
Doing it. Well, it's my show. Apparently, I did
right.
it a couple weeks ago. But
oh, really? Okay, well.
Maybe I'll find some. I could find some KMFDM. I haven't done any KMFDM in a long, you know.
Yeah?
A little while. Is there some new KMFDM?
I don't think it's quite out yet, or it just came out. It's KMFDM and joining up with another band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's out yet, though.
Oh, very cool. Very, very cool. Well, we'll have to find out on that, because as many people may or may not know, KMFDM is like, there's a big tribute to them, actually, in the Bloodstained Rabbit. A huge tribute.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yeah. In the chapter where Helmut Grangor is, where the kid meets Helmut Grangor in the sanatorium. He's, like, restrained by all the, by the, you know, and he starts yelling and screaming. And the last thing he yells is Kleinturn Mafra Dish Mir, which is No Pity for the Majority, which is KMFDM.
Right.
Yeah, and that's directly a...
I'll have to look that up. I've got my book in my hand right here.
Yeah. It's I don't remember which chapter it is, but he's the chapter where they go to meet Helmut Grangor in the sanitarium. And the last thing he says is the title of the band, KMFDM.
Oh, there it is. Page 78.
Turn your pages now. So yeah, that was gotta like that. So
German screams could be heard from within the room as he fought with the orderlies. Kein Meher für deine Mitleid.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the that was my
forgive my German.
Well, it's better than mine, you know, really. But I'm gonna fade out unless you got anything else. You got anything else?
No, I'm dry.
Okay, well I'm gonna fade out now what are we playing? We'll play some KMFDM. I'll find some KMFDM.
There
get
you
a hold
go.
Of KMFDM.
Random KMFDM.
Awesome KMMDF. KMFDMness. Yes. So remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy or we're at each other's throats. So until next time, you got anything else?
Nope.
No, you're good? Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's what Server said.
Good.
End of line.